This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings. Presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hour number two, day number two, Bennett Woods live from the winter meetings in San Diego. Well, we're always in San Diego,
yes.
But the winter meetings are here in San Diego.
Correct.
This year.
Now that you've mentioned the holiday shows on repeat up there, I'm fixated on it.
Sorry. Yeah, it's that TV just continues
on a loop.
It's the Santa Claus,
yep.
Which was a movie, let's be honest, they came up with the title and then decided to
build a movie
around a clever title. Yeah. I'm okay with that. You know me. I like a good pun and a good wordplay.
Yes, you do.
But that was clearly
your
title first, movie later.
Your tweet last night absolutely floored me. And you got
my
a
Monday
lot of
Night Football tweet?
Yeah, you
oh
got
God.
A lot of grief for it. But I thought it was really one of the more genius tweets I've ever seen from my partner.
Well, the Philadelphia Eagles had lost pretty much every receiver
yes.
during Monday Night Football. They were down to just tight ends and nothing
yeah.
during that game against the New York Giants.
Well, you had a banner day on Twitter. Number one, you posted my home address for everybody to see, so that
True.
was badass. And then later on, you followed it up with this. The Eagles are so desperate at wide receiver, they'd take some Sean Jeffrey at this point instead of Alshon Jeffrey, which I sniggled. I sniggled pretty loudly. I thought that was a good tweet.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It was
better than my home address.
I've been waiting,
online,
you know. I call him Alshon. Is it Alshon or Alshon?
Alshon Jeffrey.
Either way, it works better for if it's Alshon.
Yeah, it does.
Anyway, you know, we got Matt Vasgersian who's going to be coming by. What did that say, Paul? He's going to be here.
Our next segment. So we're going to push.
Segment.
Don't do this.
All right. Well, that's fine. We'll have Don't Do This later this hour. I want to get back one thing that we played some of the AJ Preller audio from his news conference yesterday. One thing that we didn't have the sound of, but he did talk about the starting rotation for 2020. Basically in the context, hey, they're not getting Strasburg. Are you going out? Are you still going to try to add that frontline starter? Are you going to add anyone else? And the answer was essentially probably not, that he feels confident about the 2020 starting rotation as is Ooh. Right now based on who the Padres, you know, have on their roster. So let me ask you, Woods, how confident are you in the Padres pitching staff as it's currently put together? Not knowing who's going to be your opening day pitcher, you know, obviously they added Zach Davies. You assume that Garrett Richards is going to be available and healthy this year.
I assume the rotation, and if it were me, this is what I would do. All right, I would go Paddock on opening day. Chris Paddock earned it, absolutely earned it, and you're making a big deal that you're taking the restrictor plates off Chris Paddock this year. So Paddock's your number one. Garrett Richards is your number two. Davies is your number three. Lucchese's your four, Lamet's your five. I'm fairly okay with that. I feel like, if healthy, it's a pretty good rotation. Not great by any stretch, but pretty solid.
All right, so that's the five. Now, you also would have Cal Quantrill.
Yep, and as long man,
one of those, whatever. If one of those five guys is unavailable or you just don't like what you see in spring training, Cal Quantrill could earn a spot. He also reiterated, A.J. Preller did, that Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino will both have the opportunity, I think the way he put it was to force their way
love it.
Onto the roster.
I absolutely love that.
The way Chris Paddock did last spring. The Padres clearly went into last spring training not intending to put Chris Paddock on the opening day roster.
Yeah, but he earned his way onto the roster,
in fact,
which is
I'm
what
not
it's
sure
about.
We're not even sure that Fernando Tatis Jr. was really planned to be on the opening day roster, but both performed so well in spring training that the team felt they had no other choice if they were being honest with themselves and trying to put the best product they could onto the field. They simply couldn't leave those guys down in AAA
sure.
any longer. So they both forced their way onto the roster. And it sounds like Mackenzie Gore and Luis Patino will both be given that opportunity. Now, A.J. Preller pointed out that this year's roster is deeper, likely has more talent than last year's did. So it's going to be harder to force your way onto the roster this year than maybe it was even last year, and that is part of the equation. So I would say going into the season, don't expect Mackenzie Gore to be part of that starting five
right
when the year begins, but don't be shocked if he's there. If he's, you know, if he comes out in spring and he gets like four or five starts and his ERA is one, and
yeah,
you know, hitters look overwhelmed in the Cactus League
Why
by
not,
his stuff,
man,
and he's fooling people. Well, I think the Padres are going to sit there and go, what good does it do him to send him back down for another month or two
of domination in the minor leagues? And yeah, I he's come up quick. You know, he's come up quick. He's earned every bit that he's gotten. And yeah, you know, my buddy just texted me and said, "That's a terrible rotation. What happened to you?" That's not terrible. It's not terrible by any stretch. It's not great. I mean, it's not the friggin' Nationals or Astros last year, but it's not a terrible
rotation. It's got some question marks.
How much better is it than last year's rotation?
I don't think anyone would deny Chris Paddock has the potential to be an ace. Given, you know, take the shackles off, you get a full season of Chris Paddock, you know, a year under his belt, that competitive fire, that stuff, continuing to develop that curveball. Chris Paddock could be a one or a two in that rotation.
Yep.
Garrett Richards is the wild card here. Garrett Richards was a clear number one for the Angels.
Yeah.
When he is on.
Yes.
No idea whether that's what the Padres are going to get, whether they're going to get a full season, how dominant he's going to be. I mean, he could be a middling guy. He could be a guy that just doesn't have it anymore. He could still have one or two at the top of the Padres rotation. So, you know, if he is what Garrett Richards used to be, well, then you got a really solid 1-2. Davies, if he just puts together the season he did last year,
yep,
that's great as a three. He had, what, 3.65 ERA,
yep,
something like that last year. Fantastic. Lamet, plenty of stuff. You
plenty
know,
of question marks
be,
about
especially
Lamet.
On a four or a five, though. He's got plenty of stuff down there. And then Lucchese is durable.
Yeah,
and, I like Lucchese as a fifth starter.
You nailed it, you know, with Garrett Richards really being the wild card. Again, because when he's on, he has got dirty, dirty swing and miss type stuff. It's exactly what you're looking for at the top of your rotation. But again, it's a roll of the dice because when has he been really healthy, and can you count on him for a ton of starts next year? I just don't know if you can. Now, if the Padres went and added two starting pitchers this week, I'm not going to be mad at that in the slightest. You can never have too much, as evidenced, you know, by every team last year needing starting pitching help. So, but if that's day one, I'm like, all right. It's better than last year.
Yeah, and, you know, as I said, if one of the falters, Cal Quantrill's there, and then at some point next year, I think it's pretty clear, you're going to see Mackenzie Gore. There needs to be a spot for him. You don't necessarily want to lock him out by, you know, signing two, three more guys and not, you know, have that opportunity to bring him up.
I think you're fine, though. I mean, again, because there are different – like a guy like Lamet, Ben, with the stuff that he has, couldn't you see him being a friggin' eighth inning guy or a closer at some point if you got rid of Kirby Yates? I mean, the stuff he's got's pretty ridiculous. So there's a look that those are Cadillac problems. Hey man, we've just got too many really good pitchers in our starting rotation. We're gonna have to do something. And I think that's a problem we haven't really been faced with in a long time. So if you could add, and I just, you know, other than Garrett Cole, who out there floats your boat? You know, is it Mad Bum? Is who else is out there? I'm sure some guys could be had in trades, but it still remains to be seen, and I don't think the work is done by any stretch.
I think the person that the starting pitchers will be throwing to is maybe the bigger question mark.
Massive.
And the possible move, if we see a move this week, I get more and more the sense it'll have to do with the Padres' catching core, whether it's bringing in someone new or sending off an Austin Hedges in a trade somewhere.
Yep.
That seems to be what A.J. Preller is most actively working on right now at these meetings.
And the big rumor yesterday from Jason Stark on the floor down there in the lobby milling around just said that he had heard Will Myers is a name that the Padres are actively trying to unload at this point. So,
I mean,
who wants him?
That's one of those maybe the rest of baseball finds that to be news.
We don't.
If you've been following the Padres in San Diego, that shouldn't come as a big shocker that the Padres are shopping Will Myers.
Yeah.
They're walking that nice tightrope where they're talking up Will Myers. You ask about Will Myers, they say, hey, we have confidence he's going to bounce back, he's going to be a contributor for us next season. But you could hear that 100 times, and if tomorrow he gets traded, you're not going to be surprised in the least bit that they unloaded Will Myers off their roster. I think what was interesting about what Jason Stark had to say was simply, all right, what's the price tag to unload Will Myers? It's prospects. It's probably
half the money.
Eating half of the money, the $60 million that's left on his deal. The better the prospects, the less the money.
The less the money, yeah.
You know, the worse the prospects, the more money the Padres would have to eat in that deal. So you're just trying to find the right balance.
Well, and, you know, you look at Will Myers, and if you're another team, if you're one of the other 29 teams in baseball, you're like, all right, well, what is he? Is he a DH? He actually, his best year here, he was playing first base. And so if you're, you know, I know the Blue Jays are looking for a first baseman. I know the Red Sox could use a first baseman. There's a lot of teams out there that you wonder, is Will Myers even on their radar? Are they going to go through the Encarnaciones, the Justin Smokes, the guys like that first, and then Will Myers is like your last resort, and you end up shipping off a couple middling prospects and getting Will Myers and you know, getting money back in return? That could be what happens, but when I look at the roster as it's currently constructed, I don't really see a place for Will Myers right now. And again, Jace Tingler, the new voice, you know, him and Andy Green, it was obvious they didn't get along. That's not speculation. Maybe a fresh start is what Will Myers needs, but man, have we beat that thing to death the last few years.
You guys got to stop being mean to Will Myers. It's his birthday today.
Oh, it's his birthday.
No.
Happy birthday, Will. Good day.
Not bad
you.
Now.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
I do think, though, if and when a Will Myers trade is announced, it's not going to feel good for the Padres fan base. You're not going to like what they're getting back. You're not going to like what prospects they have to attach, and you're probably going to say, and that's all the money we're saving
on
this deal?
It's not going to be great. It's not.
No one really wants him right now, so it's just not going to feel good. The day when it happens is going to be one where we're going to get a lot of tweets going, why did they do this? Why did they give – I love this prospect. They're giving up. They're barely saving any money. Why are they doing this? There's just no win in a Will Myers trade for A.J. Preller. So he's trying to find the least bad of the bad options that are out there, if there is one.
It's such a great point. I did see a couple of rumors last night, and again, take them for what they're worth. But Austin Hedges, you know, the Angels are looking at – to improve their catching core right now. Austin Hedges to the Angels actually makes a lot of sense. Austin Hedges in the AL makes a lot more sense, I think, than in the NL right now, based on just how he swung the bat and really nothing more. Other than that, the way he swung the bat the last few years, he hadn't figured it out. He's had a ton of at-bats to figure it out, and he just hasn't yet. So I cannot wait to see what this roster looks like on opening day. I really can't.
Woodsy, we will go through some of the other big storylines here at the baseball winter meetings when Matt Vasgersian from MLB Network joins us. He should be on his way up in just a couple of minutes, so we'll do Don't Do This a little bit later this hour. Stick around. Ben and Woods continuing live from the Manchester Grand Hyatt. I just heard Jordan say some of his traffic in. Is that what we're saying?
All right.
Let's go to check the 97.3 The Fan traffic with Sudovic.
Live from the Manchester Grand Hyatt, this is coverage of the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings, presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, coming up in the next 30 minutes, everybody out there, be listening for your name to be called as today's biggest fan. If it is you, you'll have 10 minutes to call us back and win today's prize package. It is a huge one. We got a four-pack of tickets for 97.3 The Fan Takeover Night coming up this Friday during the SeaWorld Christmas Celebration presented by Sprint. Experience over 1 million lights and all new shows and attractions like the Sesame Street Christmas Village, the Winter Wonderland on Ice Show, and the Sir Christmas Show. And if you call back in time, you'll be entered to win our grand prize, the perfect Christmas gift, a Barry Manilow Vegas getaway that includes two VIP tickets to see Manilow perform at the International Theater at the Westgate Las Vegas, dinner for two at the Edge Steakhouse, plus a Serenity Spa experience. Just sign up at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan to enter.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
So that's coming up sometime later this hour. A couple of notes is, Manny Vasgersian's walking
up
right now.
Look at that. That's a handsome SOB right there walking up.
Actually, I thought one fun note that's probably going to impact Matty, good to see you, Matty, more than any other news that's come out at the baseball winter meetings so far this week. A little scoop last night is that the draft is moving from Secaucus, New Jersey, the MLB Network headquarters, to Omaha, Nebraska.
It's a good idea.
For like the 3 days before the College World Series. Maddie, it's good to see you. From MLB Network, joining us here on Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Can you believe anything wanted to leave Secaucus, New
Jersey? Well, I mean, is it Secaucus or Secaucus?
It's your home away from home.
That is intuitive, Steve, because everybody in Secaucus calls it Secaucus. It's like people in San Francisco bristling at when somebody says Frisco.
And when people say Cali, like the new guy moves to town, I'm loving Cali.
Yeah,
it's like
Cali,
nobody says that here.
Secaucus sounds like people getting together to vote on a boat cap.
Secaucus.
Regardless of how you say it, it still smells of sewage.
Yes. Well, and then you go to Omaha, and it smells like cow dung. So you guys ever hear of Vegas, San Diego? I mean, there's a lot of other cool places.
I think it's
a
good idea, though. No, all the guys who are getting drafted,
they're there at
the College World Series.
It is. It makes a lot of sense. And they've been talking about that one for a while, so it's cool that that's actually happening. Even though we'll miss it, having it at MLB Network was cool. If for the only reason that occasionally, like, a star would show up that you didn't know was going to turn into a star, Mike Trout was there in 09.
Wow.
And watched, you know, his name fall deeper and deeper on the board. And we're like, oh, this Jersey kid got taken first by the Angels. Hope he turns into something.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Maybe the greatest player alive. Well, yeah. No, the greatest player alive is sitting in there waiting for his name to be called.
Right.
Amazing. How's everything with you, man?
Good.
The gig is good. Everything's good.
Everything's good. Very busy once the season starts. This is kind of the fun time of year for us. We get to just kind of sit back and watch it all unfold without a lot of travel. And coming out here is a pleasure for everybody. You know, I mean, last year at the Winter Meetings, last few years, it's been slow.
Yeah.
And it's just good for business when there's transactions and things to report. The Strasburg thing made news everywhere yesterday, not just in San Diego. So my litmus test is this. When you're on your Yahoo homepage and there's a baseball story, even if it's ham-handedly reported, even if it's not quite detailed, when it knocks off some salacious crime or heart-tugging human interest story from the top of your news feed, then baseball's in a good spot.
Yeah, I thought the exact same thing yesterday. And, you know, again, I was kind of joking earlier. I said, man, we had a lot of financial advisors out there on Twitter yesterday with this Strasburg deal. And, you know, the way I look at it is I think we all want to get paid for the things that we have done, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the natural order of things. And I think some of this contract is, hey, man, we love you. We want you here. And we're going to make sure that you don't go anywhere else. And thank you for all the hard work that you've given this organization. Part of it's that. Part of it is that that kid's still 31 years old, and he is an ace, and you want to keep your ace. And, you know, the money's exorbitant, sure, but I was saying earlier, The Rock made $89 million last year. Last year, in 1 year, The Rock, he's one of the worst actors out there. Steven Strasburg.
That's his opinion. I mean, you know, it's not everyone's opinion.
Nice guy, very dynamic. I get it. But, you know, it's not Philip Seymour Hoffman here we're talking about, all right? It's a lot of money, but I think you do it in a heartbeat with a guy like that.
Yeah. No, I agree for all the reasons you state. And he's their franchise guy.
That's it.
And, you know, the Tommy John history is now proving that, you know, once guys get out of that immediate recovery zone of whatever it is, 19 to 36 months, that the odds of that happening again are slim. Sure, there have been two-time Tommy John recipients.
Sure.
There have been a handful of three-timers. But he checks all the boxes. He's just, he's never going to embarrass you. We're over 2015 where they shut him down.
Yep.
Even though they brought it up at the press conference yesterday when Mike Rizzo was sitting smugly next to, I don't know which one. Actually, I think Scott was the guy that was a little more smug, right? He just consummated.
Really? Scott Boris was more smug than someone else?
And he should have been. He should have been. Like, he just did a mega deal. And he's got another one sitting there that's going to get even more when Garrett Cole finally signs on the dotted line for close to $300 million total package. It's going to be a $600 million month for him.
Yeah. Well, and we keep hearing these things, Matty V. Man, it's just baseball's in a bad spot right now. There's going to be a strike, the labor, the owners. And I'm looking at the owners, and they're cutting the checks right now. The players seem to be a lot happier this year than they were last year. You're not hearing – yeah, you hear kind of behind the scenes from agents and things like, hey, brace yourselves. It's coming. But when you look at deals like that get made yesterday, you're like, how? How's this coming? Everybody seems to be, you know, on the same page right now.
There's always that, you know, the guy that bets on the don't line that thinks the sky's going to fall. I happen to be, I don't know, sometimes I go that way with things. But with this one, no, there's not going to be a work stoppage.
Right.
There's not. It's a, what was the terminology that Scott Boris, by the way, has a great team of writers coming up with some of these descriptives.
They're fantastic.
He said
they
something
really
like the Washington Nationals are experiencing a cherry blossom festival of revenue after winning the World. It's just good stuff, right? But that's all of baseball. The money is there. Like, the digital money that's poured in from MLB.com, BAM, quote-unquote, it's been a windfall for all 30 clubs. Yeah. And the rights deals are huge. The player contracts are huge. There will be no stopping.
Thank God, you know, man. I just don't see it can't recover. It would take so long to recover from a work stoppage again. I mean, it took forever.
And every league has its quote-unquote problems.
No doubt.
The NBA has a competitive balance problem. So does the NFL. The NFL has bad behavior problems every day on the back of page six. Every league has these little mini issues. Everybody's fine.
I saw they released the slate, at least the first half slate of ESPN Sunday Night Baseball next year. Are you coming back? Do we know? Is that official?
Do we know? Your guess is as good
Breaking
as mine.
Breaking news here. Let me know if you're here.
yeah, I think I'm coming back.
Okay, good. I'd heard a report somewhere that hadn't been decided.
ESPN is going to experience a cherry blossom of growth and fruitful
cherry blossom. No games. Can we get them to Petco Park at some point?
Well, we talked about it yesterday, and I knew you were going to attack Matty B when he got here. I knew it. Like, it's his fault, but we talked about it yesterday. So the deal is you release about half the schedule, and of course it's a lot of Yankees, Red Sox, which it's still going to get viewers. It works. They do it because it works. It's like radio. You know, you do it. You stick with it if it works. But we agreed that, hey, the Padres they could play their way into a Sunday night baseball if they wanted to. It's there. And the stars are there.
They need to win 40 in a row and trade for Bryce Harper. I mean, honestly, like, there are teams like the Padres who are interesting, if not on the verge of being really exciting.
Yeah.
Teams like the A's who are really good, who get ignored nationally, and it's not just Sunday Night Baseball. And the Sunday Night Baseball ratings algorithm is pretty good. They do a good job in trying to maximize the eyeballs. There's not as much Yankees Red Sox, at least as what was announced, as we had last year. We had five Yankees Red Sox games last year. Like, that's a lot.
They're 17 hours long, also, so that's
but
that
they
helps.
Do rate, and they that's do. The thing yeah. that people watch. And you know, we could find the best quote unquote baseball matchup every weekend, and it might not move the needle like something that Cubs, Cardinals, Red Sox, Yankees.
Right.
So that's kind of how it goes. And believe me, I fly the flag for Padres games a lot.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you know, with some of the exciting young players that the Pods have, and then, you know, the superstars that they've added, et cetera. And yeah, I mean, maybe they can play their way in a year, a couple of years, but there's a lot of work left to be done, and I know that
I'm simply jealousy. I just want to see, you know, San Diego and the Padres on that national stage
Sign Bumgarner would be a
you like
step
the Matt
in the right
Bum
direction.
Move?
I think that's really intriguing, for so many reasons. I don't know. Like, I really felt like he was going to sign, seal, and deliver himself to the Braves,
Same.
And nobody else had a shot.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to think otherwise. We're hearing the Reds are
Diamondbacks, I heard yesterday.
Maybe the Diamondbacks, maybe the Padres. This has gotten pretty interesting. And by the way, if you're representing Madison Bumgarner, you're sitting at a very good spot right now because you have all the teams that are in play for Cole and all the teams for whom Cole is a little too pricey. You've got a bigger market than Cole right now in terms of volume of teams buying.
It's interesting how – yeah, obviously, Madison Bumgarner wasn't the same the last couple of seasons as he was before, but people assume, well, that means he's going to be not quite as good the rest of his career. Yet a guy like Drew Pomeranz, who had fallen off the map, has two good months, and, you know, he gets a pretty big deal to pitch out of the Padres' bullpen. It's like, hey, just impress us for a few weeks, and we still got plenty of money out there for
timing
you.
Timing is everything.
Timing is absolutely everything. Yeah, it really is. And I'm excited about, you know, the future of this team here more today than I was 6 weeks ago. And I think as a fan, that's really all you can ask. Like, are we consistently trying to improve? I mean, imagine being, you know, a fan of the team like the Pirates or the Rays. Or, you know, the Rays win 90 games, no one cares.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody cares at all. And I think in this city, and you know it to be true, Matty, once those 90-win seasons – start coming here, it's going to be bedlam in this town. People are so hungry.
I've seen more in the 3 days we've been here. I've seen more Padres caps of different vintage than I did in the 8 years that I lived here.
Yeah.
It really is pretty incredible. And part of that is the Charger defection. Part of that is the excitement with Tatis and the new crop of players, the new uniforms. I also hope this. I hope that everybody gives Jace Tingler a real chance.
Yeah.
Because I think that for a GM, for AJ to bring in a guy that nobody was really familiar with means that there's got to be something there. So I think everybody should kind of tip their cap and say, all right, let's give this a chance. Here's a guy nobody knows a lot about. He could turn into something very special, and I hope everybody has an open mind to a guy that had not managed before.
Like I said, I think it's a lot more open now than it was 6 weeks ago.
That's good.
You know, and I think we had him on yesterday, and yesterday was more of just a conversation talking about baseball than it was, hey, I'm the new guy, and I'm going to assert myself, and this is what we're going to do. Now, yeah. He seems to be a really collaborative guy, seems to be a grinder, a guy that's going to be out there with the guys and grinding through it, and we were really impressed. We sat down with him yesterday.
Yeah, I spent a little time with him yesterday, too, just kind of chit-chat time around the hotel, and I felt the same way. I'm really rooting for the guy and hope he has success.
Yeah, we do, too.
How do you spend your days? Obviously, you've got your responsibilities for MLB Network, but when you're here, you're networking. What do you – I mean – how do you spend your time?
What are you networking for,
I'm not
by
really
the way?
Networking networking at all.
You have an attaché with Resume Center or no?
I had like two guys hand me DVDs of their work yesterday. Like, I'm an aspiring play-by-play guy. And they jammed a DVD in my stomach. Ooh. I'm like, dude, I'm not going to listen to it, but Godspeed. I hope you take my job someday. Soon, actually. I don't really do a lot of networking. We do our show from 8 to 10 in the morning. I'm going to be at the Padres a little later on at Petco Park doing a little event with some season ticket holders with Mud. And then
wait, Mud and Matty V
yeah,
back together?
It's going to be a little shtick. You know, our act probably would not fly as well with a good team. But when I was here, when we were working together, the pods were so bad for many of those years that it just didn't really matter. What we were doing it to amuse ourselves.
Of course, yeah.
And it was
you got to get through it.
And we loved it, and it was great. But I try to get out of here, actually. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time trolling the halls, you know, waxing philosophic on how much money Cole's going to get, which is what a lot of guys do.
By the way, how much is he going to get? About
three. I think he's going to get close to three. Yeah.
9 years?
That's what they're saying. I mean, that's a pretty big nut to bite down on for a pitcher that's almost 30 years old or however old Garrett is. But he is the class of the class right now. If he's not going to get it, nobody will.
Well, Matty, it is always a pleasure to
see you
back in San Diego. Best of luck. Hopefully we'll run into you again before the week's over.
I like the placards that you guys have.
Very professional.
It is very professional.
Don't go anywhere. I've got a CD I want to give you before you leave, all right? Just real quick.
Matt
Vasgersian
from MLB Network. And as you know, all of our guests presented by Wingly Buddha-Style Chicken, found at Sinley Foods. This is a lifestyle, not a fad.
Yes,
have you ever
is.
Been presented by chicken before?
I haven't, but I'm waiting for the gift certificate so I can experience said chicken.
We didn't get any trade, so it's fine.
All right, we got our Don't Do This coming up in just a second. Stick around. It's Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Now, back to the 2019 MLB Winter Meetings, presented by your San Diego Honda dealers on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Before we get to Don't Do This and have a pretty good one for you today, I want to thank Matty Vasgersian from MLB Network, ESPN, for stopping by the headquarters here at the Manchester Grand Hyatt, our live coverage continuing from baseball's winter meetings. I also want to tell you the name of today's biggest fan. Again, if you hear your name, you're going to have 10 minutes to call us back at 833-288-0973. 833-288-0973. I didn't get it wrong. I just paused for a second. Dan Gallant, you're the biggest fan. Go ahead, call now. Claim the prize package. You got the SeaWorld tickets for our takeover on Friday from 97.3 The Fan, presented by Sprint, and your entry into the Barry Manilow Vegas getaway drawing. You got 10 minutes. Now, if Dan doesn't call, we'll throw it back out to the rest of our listeners like we did yesterday. So keep listening for your chance to call in and steal the prize package. Now, let's get a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Sue DeVincent.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
Why?
With Ben and Woods.
Let me tell you why I am a dumbass.
Presented by Hamul Casino.
Be there or be square.
On 97.3 The Fan.
All right, a little late, but better late than never. Plus, we got some good juicy stories to get into today on Don't Do This. So, Woodsy, why don't you lead us off?
Well, I will get us started and history repeating itself in New England, where the Patriots, once again, under investigation, Ben, for illegally filming something. They love to illegally film things. It's like their favorite thing to do. And essentially, they were doing a quote-unquote documentary. They got credentialed access from the Cleveland Browns, but they started filming all the things that the Bengals were doing on the sideline. Now, coincidentally, they play the Bengals next weekend. Now, the Bengals have won, what, One game. And the Patriots are doing what they do, getting his, you know, they're going over the line. They're taking that extra, you know, taking the extra step to ensure themselves a victory.
I didn't know they played him next week.
They've struggled as of late as well. Now, again, our buddy Mikey, he's Boston Mikey. He got really upset with me on Twitter. Now, it's fun because you poke fun. I don't really care that they did this. I just think it's fun to make fun of him. But he's like, they're making a documentary. Like, it's not that big a deal. Like, everybody knows. They had access. Well, then the Patriots put out a statement being like, yeah, we did it. Sorry.
Well, now, call me gullible. I heard Bill Belichick talking about it. I must be crazy. I kind of believe the explanation. So they've got this web series. It's called Do Your Job.
And
they've done other ones. I mean, they've showed other like jobs in the organization, what they do, and the crew, which wasn't, they said, it's not hired. It's not football operations. It's like the marketing department was filming this advanced scout, showing him what he does in the day up in the press box. They got permission from the Cleveland Browns to be up there. They were filming. The mistake they made was they did turn their cameras toward the field on the sidelines at one point.
And the Bengals noticed. And listen, I'm mostly joking, but it is funny. It continues to be a thing.
You know, and I would expect that the NFL is going to at least come down with some sort of fine. Because they did violate, you're not allowed to film from the press box the field.
Yeah.
That they did violate a rule. Now, it might be marketing guys. They're hired from outside the organization. They're like independent contractors. I can't believe Bill Belichick would be dumb enough to go and hire some temps to cheat for him.
Right.
You're going to get some trusted confidant to be your cheater.
You think he'd turn down that information, though, if they gave it to him? I got for you.
At the same time, I will say this. I saw a report where the last time they had Spygate, one of the things the Patriots are said to have done, they had the excuse ready.
Yes.
So it's possible that they were ready with this whole do your job documentary excuse they got caught.
Go to page 4. It's under fake documentaries. All right? This will work like a charm. Trust me. It'll work. Trust me.
Don't do this.
So I'm probably the dumbest person on the planet
100%.
To believe Bill Belichick. But he was like, he appeared on a Boston radio station and said, I don't know who these guys are. I've got no idea. I mean, I don't even know what's going on.
Web series. We'll call it a web series. All right?
All right.
They hire like Jimmy from Newton. Oh, yeah, I can work a camera. No problem.
If I told you, Woodsy, that there was a new cheating scandal in golf, and I made you guess one player who was at the center of it.
Patrick Reed.
I
did not know this. I swear to God, that was a guess.
I mean, the dirtiest golfer on the planet strikes again.
So he's like the Patriots / Astros
of golf.
Of golf, okay.
Of golf. He got penalized at Tiger's tournament in the Bahamas over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The video came out, and it's pretty egregious.
Is this the sand trap thing?
This is the sand trap
thing. I watched this thing.
See this?
Even me, who knows jackass about golf, I'm like, oh, yeah, you can't do that.
In a waste bunker. He lines up to do his practice, waggles behind the ball, practices his take back once. Some of the sand from behind the ball slides away.
Yep.
Comes back, waggles behind the ball again, practices the take back, a little more sand.
He's brushing
the sand out of the way. He says, oh, this was totally accidental.
Incidental.
Maybe once, twice in a row. He is the Judge Smales of the PGA Tour. The guy will try to get away with absolutely anything.
Yes, winter rules.
They had to call him on it. It's not, golf is supposed to be the gentleman's sport where you call all the penalties on yourself. No, they had to come and tell him, hey, we got the video here. We need to assess you a 2-stroke penalty for improving your lie against the rules.
It's going to come out that Patrick Reed roofies other golfers the night before tournaments. They're like, no one's here. You win. I mean,
we're going to be at the Masters one day, and they're going to have video of him just kicking his ball back out into the fairway.
Looking around, just like, or dropping another ball somewhere. Yeah. I know you hate him. And you've sold.
And he gets to play in the President's Cup this week. It's like, do I cheer for the United States with this guy on our team?
That's the tough part. That's the tough part, having to root for guys like that. This was an interesting story, and it brought back a not-so-fond memory for yours truly here. So I was reading the story. Le'Veon Bell, by all accounts this year, been a pretty good teammate, worked hard. You know, the Jets have had a really bad season, but Le'Veon Bell, by all accounts, has been pretty solid, okay? And this one, though, this is not one that's going to get him called into the commissioner's office. He's not in any trouble. He didn't beat anybody up. It's just one of those things that don't do this was made for. It's just a dumb, dumb move, and it's all about optics, and it's all about perception. Le'Veon Bell, on the night his New York Jet teammates were getting ready to host the Miami Dolphins in Week 14, he was ruled out with the flu. And Adam Gase sent him home and said, dude, you got the flu. It's like what happens in radio. You're like, dude, if you get out, don't get the whole building sick. Get out of here. And nobody's going to be mad at you. Just go home. But then video appears of him that night at a bowling alley. So he's got the flu. He was sent home for the flu. And then he goes out bowling till 1 a.m. with his friends. And again, he is a grown man. He can do whatever he wants to do, but it's not a good look. This is Tony Romo going to Cabo the week before a playoff game, then losing that playoff game. If Le'Veon Bell gets sent home sick with the flu, then says, you know what, I feel better, I'm going to come play, and he runs for, you know, 200 yards, yeah, man, well done. But it reminded me, I did this. I called in sick to work when I was not feeling good when I woke up. This is years and years ago. But I felt good enough at 7 p.m. to go play in the company softball game that night. And my boss, a guy named Mateo, looked at me, didn't say anything when I was there because, well, they needed me to win the game. I was a decent player. And we win the game. He took me out to the car, and he chewed my ass, the likes of which I have never been chewed out in my life. And he said, yeah, you may feel better now, and you may have felt like crap this morning, but you showing up here after not coming to work, the worst optics, the perception of you is at an all-time low.
And what job was this?
I was a recruiter.
A recruiter.
Yeah, I was basically ripping the phones
all day. You're not an NFL running back in a league that is on national television and every move is scrutinized by an entire network that's devoted to this sort of thing. You're just a recruiter.
In New York, no less. And just so you guys know, he was not trying to fly under the radar, Ben, because he was wearing orange leather pants when he was out. So I think
that's a separate don't do this.
So they did decline comment. And again, it's just one of those things. It's not the worst thing in the world. There's so many worse stories out of the NFL, but it's one of those ones where you go, dude, what were you thinking? Like, you got sent home because you were sick. Go home and at least pretend you're sick.
As old buddy Eric Stengel tweeted, you know the old saying, feed a cold, starve a fever, bowl of flu.
Genius. Absolutely genius.
By the way, Le'Veon Bell on my fantasy team, had he just played, I would have beaten Paul. Instead, of course, Paul beats me.
Yeah, he killed a lot of people.
Terrible fantasy season continues. Thanks a lot, Le'Veon. Well, you know what? They ruled him out. Did they rule him out?
No, they sent him home.
And they sent him home.
But that doesn't – like, if they send you home for the flu, you better have the flu.
Don't
Do This. Presented by Hamul Casino. Winning excitement has a new name. Hamul Casino, San Diego's newest, closest, and most genuinely entertaining place to play. Just 20 minutes from downtown Highway 94 to Campo Road.
All right, I believe it's been 10 minutes. Did Dan the Man call in as our biggest fan and claim the prize? He did not, I am told. So that means it is your lucky day out there. Start dialing us right now, 833-288-0973. We'll take the fifth caller. You can steal the prize package, 833-288-0973. The SeaWorld Takeover tickets for Friday night. And we'll enter you into the grand prize drawing for the Barry Manilow Vegas getaway. Dial now, 833-288-0973. It's a biggest fan steal attempt here from Ben and Woods. Woodsy, we got a lot to go still this morning. Starting to pick up here.
Would you say half the show still to go?
I would. A little more than that because we still have a few minutes.
That's true.
So we're not done yet. But starting to pick up. Still a little more action here running through the building.
Yeah. I mean, not really, but okay. You guys make it sound loud. Oh, look at that. Garrett Cole just walked by. Wow. Hey, Brian Cashman, you want to come on with us? No. Okay. All right. I hear Brian Cashman is in town, though. I did see yesterday. He's in town. He landed yesterday, apparently going to – he was prepared to make the same offer that Strasburg got yesterday, and then he landed and said, oh, that's not going to get it done anymore. So what to do now for Garrett Cole? And it's going to be –
everyone says, well, that just drives the price up for Garrett Cole. It doesn't have to. The market will set the price for Garrett Cole. He'll get offers. He'll reject them. He'll accept the highest offer. just because Steven Strasburg is getting $265 million.
45.
Total, or 245 total, doesn't mean that Gerrit Cole has to get $300 million. There are other options out there. In fact, if you were Gerrit Cole, what would you rather take? You want that, what, that nine-year, $300 million deal we were talking about with Matt Vasgersian earlier?
Yes.
Or what about what about this? What about 4 years, $180 million?
And then you get to, do this again.
$45 million a year, 4 years, and you're still, what, 33? You know, obviously you're not going to get, you know, $300 million at 33, but you might make one more big chunk of change, and you can make something like $45 million a year in the short term.
That is not the worst idea in the world, but again, it depends on the player. Now, if it were me, if I were in his shoes, I would take – I'd probably at this point in my life, with the future being certain for no one, I'm taking the bigger deal. Now, but the thing is, man, when you commit, you got to remember you're committing to 8 or 9 years. Now, I'm pretty confident – And I'm very comfortable in San Diego. I'll commit here for a decade, no problem. But you know, if I'm in Cleveland or something, and they offer me a 10-year deal, I'm like, I may want to live in Miami one day. I may want to live in L.A. I may want to live in San Diego.
And
if I'm a
team,
player,
I might be willing to overpay a little bit.
Yeah, for a shorter deal.
To get out of those, it's going to cost me way more.
Committing
in the short
nine
term.
Years to the Pinstripes, though, could be worse.
It could be worse. Yeah, I mean, it could be worse. But do you want to live in the, it's a different lifestyle than playing, than doing 9 years for the Angels or for the Dodgers, you know? So it's about what he wants and what's important for his family. But he's gonna, what we do know, he's just gonna make an ass load of money.
Well, we'll see what Scott Boras does next. I thought he was amazing yesterday. I was at that news conference. We'll get into that. More from baseball's winter meetings is what he said. Half the show still to go. Ben and Woods live from the Hyatt on 97.3 The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.